The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. The words given to us today is Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. I will read the words. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Amen. It is fairly recent and not too long ago that the status of women has become what it is today in human history. If we take a look at how the ancient philosophers thought and spoke, we can verify the degree to which the women were subject to discrimination. In about 460 BC, this is what Socrates said. Marry in any case. If you get a good wife, you will be happy. If you get a bad wife, you will become a philosopher. Socrates publicly announced that his wife was a bad wife and reasoned that he became a great philosopher because he endured a tough marriage made difficult by a bad wife. Aristotle, who was a grandson's age to Socrates, said this: the courage of a man can be seen in his commands, and the courage of a woman can be revealed in her obedience. In this way, Aristotle explained that the nature of the relationship between a man and a woman as a master-slave relationship. At the time, women were treated as creatures who were in between men and animals. Women were beings who were not supposed to see anything, hear anything, or question anything. This was how people who lived 2,500 years ago thought of women. The problem is that the church copied such practice for 1,000 years without a thought, without any criticism. We can confirm this from the speeches of the early church fathers and the religious reformers. And again, one of the early church fathers said this: even if a woman speaks of something worthy of respect or something holy, a man should never pay attention to it because nothing worthwhile has ever come out of a woman's mouth. John Calvin, the reformer, has this to say: all women are born with the innate ability to understand that she is inferior to man. Let alone the ancient times, during the time of the early church fathers when only men could speak, during the Middle Ages when women were burned at the stake, during witch hunts, during the time of Reformation, when reforms were called for, but old prejudices about women were still kept around, women were the object of oppression and discrimination. As democracy progressed, women were given suffrage, but for the reason that women had inferior abilities than men and their true role was with the family, and that the interests of women can be represented by men, for a long time, women were not given the right to fully participate in politics. The United Kingdom and the United States, the representatives of democracies, provided the voting rights to women only in 1918 and 1920, respectively. Korea gave voting rights to women after the liberation in 1948, and most recently, in 2015, Saudi Arabia recognized voting rights of women. At every age, there is a group which is subjected to discrimination. Typically, they are powerless people. They don't have possession, talents, or abilities. They do not have strength or power, so they're always oppressed and taken advantage of. But Jesus protected the powerless and opposed discrimination. In particular, although he lived through a time when women were not respected and looked down on, he never once uttered a word that put down a woman. Far from discrimination, he treated them as his co-workers who were to cultivate the kingdom of God with him throughout his public ministry. There were two kinds of people who hung around Jesus: those who received discrimination and those who discriminated. The people who received discrimination were those who were classified as sinners, those who violated the law, tax collectors, prostitutes, sick people, handicapped people, and the aliens. In contrast, those who discriminated against were people of the establishment, the priests, the religious leaders like Levites and Pharisees, and the politicians and aristocrats who had power. When Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, people who acknowledged him as the Son of God and confessed that he was their Lord were people who were classified as sinners at the time. Only those who saw that they were sinners before God, who recognized that they could die forever because of sin, confessed Jesus as being the Messiah, the Christ. This fact causes fear and trembling within us. If Jesus were to come to earth again now, would I recognize him as the Son of God and confess that he's my Savior? 2,000 years ago, only those who understood that they were sinners were able to recognize Jesus as the Messiah and confessed him as their Lord. If I ask myself whether I see myself as a sinner, only thing I see is a self which lives on without much thought, swept up by the busy world. Too often and too easily, I can discovered a self which is more used to discriminating than being discriminated against. The self which is self-satisfied with the thought that I am the chosen one, the one who is saved by faith, rather than being conscious of being a sinner. Now, today's text begins with the words, "after this." This is from verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. The Greek word kadexes, which means after this, has the meaning of in succession, following, or in order, and it connotes things happening according to a plan. And so in chapter 7, which precedes today's text, records the story of how Jesus healed the servant of a Roman centurion, the story of how Jesus revived the son of the widow of Nain who had died, and the story of a sinful woman who breaks an alabaster jar to pour perfume on Jesus' feet. Therefore, after this tells us that the things Jesus had intended and planned to do are contained in the stories that were told in chapter 7, and all those things were coming to pass in order without any disruption. So what were the things that Jesus had planned to do on this earth? We can find the answer in what is common about the sick servant, the dead son of the widow, and the sinful woman. What is common about them is that they were the powerless ones of that age. They were the discriminated against. According to the world's standards, they were not the great ones, but little ones. The Lord was with people who were powerless, who were discriminated against during his time. He became their friends and resolved the issues in their lives, and this is what the Lord had planned to do on this earth, and it is a kind of foreshadowing of the shape that the Lord's public ministry was to take. The text also records that the Lord, in order to do what he had planned to do on this earth, went from one town and village to another. From this, we can see that the Lord went about without discriminating a region or an area. Here, the Greek word polis, which means town, could be translated as city and implies a region of some size. On the other hand, the Greek word kome, which means a village, means a very small area. What is meant by these words, one town and village, being used together means, regardless of the size of the region, everywhere. It's saying that there was no discrimination in the different regions that the Lord went about. And the Greek word diaduo, meaning a traveled about, also emphasizes, together with the words from one town and village, that Jesus traveled to all possible places. Further, the word diaduo is in perfect tense, implying that Jesus continued to declare the words at all times and in all places. The Lord did not discriminate against people or a region. He went to all places where there were people who needed the gospel to declare the good news. The good news that Jesus declared in each town and village was about the kingdom of God. About the concept of the kingdom of God, Pastor Chang Jae-ryong explained it well during the August 6th service. The kingdom of God is not a place where the bigness or smallness, as the world sees, serves as a standard. Big churches and small churches, big achievements and small achievements, big jobs and small jobs, big dreams and small dreams, big houses and small houses, and even when it comes to heights, the tall height and the small height. These bigness and smallness become important standards by which we judge a person and lives as we live. However, we have said that these worldly definitions about what is big and what is small become null and void in the kingdom of God. This is because no matter what a great person you are on this earth, you are no greater than the least of the persons who are in the kingdom of God. So in this way, the kingdom of God is a place where there is no discrimination, where a person is treated as a human being, and where a human being is accorded respect due to him or her for being human. On September 5th, there was a public debate among residents in Gangseo-gu. Some residents were protesting against building of a special needs school for the reason that the real estate prices would fall. Instead, they wanted to build a national oriental medicine hospital. Parents with handicapped children, however, knelt on the ground and pleaded with tears for the construction of the special needs school, arguing that even a handicapped child should attend the school. This was widely publicized among social media and television news. As of April of this year, there were 89,353 children with disabilities. Among them, only 25,789 of them attend special needs school. This means that 65.4% of them are not receiving proper education. This is the extent to which children with disability are being discriminated against when it comes to opportunities for education in our society. Therefore, parents of children with disabilities are pleading with tears for the establishment of a special needs school, saying that they can kneel tens of thousands of times if it were for the children. Currently within the 25 districts in Seoul, 8 of them do not have a special needs school. And when we set aside the opening of the Hyojung School for children who are sight challenged, the last time a special needs school was opened was in 2002 when Gyeongwon School opened. For the past 15 years, there were many attempts at opening a special needs school, but these plans were all opposed by the residents and could not get off the ground. There are groups who are discriminated against in each age. Usually they are the powerless ones. And there are people who are vulnerable emotionally or physically. There are people who are born with disabilities and those who become handicapped because of inadvertent accidents. Disabilities, however, cannot be a reason for discrimination. To the contrary, they're the ones who should be protected. They should not be oppressed or exploited because they happen to be weak. The Lord went to each town and village, and he met people. All the people whom he met were without fail people who were poor, who were at the margin, who were sick, and were abandoned. He went to the powerless, listened to their stories, touched their wounded hearts, and resolved their issues in life. If this is the case, shouldn't we cut off the ropes of selfishness that would take away the opportunity for education from children with disabilities for the reason of falling housing prices and listen to the tearful pleadings of parents who are asking for the opening of the special needs school? We must think about where the Lord will head first, whom he will meet first if he were to come to this earth. Now, today's text tells us what kinds of people were around Jesus who were declaring the kingdom of God. First of all, the 12 disciples were with him. And next, some women were with them. Although there is no detailed introduction about the 12 disciples, the women are introduced in detail. Jesus had driven away demons from them and healed their illnesses. Now, this information tells us what kind of persons these women who served Jesus were. They were persons who had already received the great grace from Jesus. They did not forget that grace and continued to follow Jesus and serve him. In particular, when we look at verse 2, it introduces these women as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases and records the names of these three women. At the time, there were probably a lot of people who followed and served Jesus. So why does the Bible go as far as revealing the names of these women and introducing them to us? It is because there were certain things that Jesus had planned through those who had received the grace of having cured of evil spirits and diseases. The experience of being healed of incurable disease is doubtlessly a rare and a very great grace. There are numerous miracle stories recorded in the Bible, and Jesus cured numerous people who were sick during his 3 years of public ministry. Because such experience of being cured of disease has a great benefit to one's faith life. But the experience of being cured of disease is not necessary for everyone. If this was a necessary experience for everybody, the Lord would have allowed that experience to his people whom he loves without a single exception. But in the world, there are people who experience the miracle of being cured, but there are more people who are not able to have such an experience. Probably among you present here, more of you belong to the majority who have not experienced a miracle rather than to the minority who has. If we were to focus only on the miracles of being cured of illness, if we were to fix our regard only on those who have experienced a miracle, then today, too, we are bound to be disappointed and be in despair. The reason is that there are countless people who are sick in the world, and they are dying from it. The sick person could be me, my family, or my neighbor. Why doesn't God allow the miracle of healing of disease? Is it because He does not love me or don't care about my problems? Are the people who are recorded as having been healed of disease in the Bible awfully lucky? And all that people like me can do is just to look forward to heaven. You can think this way. But regarding this issue, the Bible consistently tells us one thing. In John chapter 5, there is a story about a man who has been sick for 38 years and is waiting for the pool of water at Bethesda to be disturbed. The reason for his waiting is based on the belief that the person who is the first to go into the pool of water when an angel comes down from time to time to disturb the water will be healed of whatever disease. So there were countless sick people there, stroke victims, blind persons, persons who walked with a limp, persons who were dissipating, and persons with incurable diseases. Many other sick persons gathered together and waited for the moment when the water would move. But among them, Jesus cured only one person, the person who had been sick for 38 years among them. Is it because the person was lucky and he was able to meet Jesus and receive the healing, and the rest were just in bad luck and could not receive healing, although they had met Jesus? This is not the case. The reason that Jesus saw many people with illnesses but cured only one person is because the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth is not to cure people of diseases, but to reveal who He was through the miracles of healing. Jesus came to this earth and became a friend of the poor, the sick, the marginalized, the tax collectors, and the prostitutes, and those who were marked as sinners of the time. At this time, pious Jews believed that those who were marginalized were those who were cursed by God and had to live that way. And so they didn't bother to associate with them. But Jesus went to those very people, share their suffering, and deliver the good news to them. The good news of Jesus was nothing other than that the reason they were sick, that they came to have disabilities, that they became a widow, that they were poor, that they were shunned by the society, was not because they were cursed by God. The gospel is that anyone who believes in God may become a child of God, regardless of the status, regardless of wealth or class. The event that symbolized this was the curing of the man who had been ill for 38 years. The countless sick people who witnessed this event, although they were not cured of their diseases, heard the words of life from the Lord, received Him as their Lord, and came to have true freedom and hope for the eternal kingdom. Therefore, although one person received healing, all those who witnessed this event received the same grace from the Lord. Although they were not cured of their diseases, their hearts had changed. Faith in the Lord came into their hearts, and the faith became hope. And this hope, like salmons filled with vitality that swims against the current, became the source of motivation that allowed them to withstand difficulties of their lives and live with vitality. It is no different when it comes to the women who appear in today's text and who receive curing of evil spirits and diseases. Although the persons who experienced miracles were few, the persons who heard about the miracles were many. The circumstances of my life, of course, did not change simply because I hear about a miracle. But although they were in the same situation and in the same circumstances, their hearts changed because they came to have faith in the Lord. They were able to believe that He loves this world and that he would willingly give his life for us. We must leave behind the prejudice of our faith, prejudice that our faith is proven before God and other people when we receive answers that I want of my prayers, when the problems of my life are solved. We must get rid of the prejudice that grips us in order to get rid of the Pharisees in us that judge others according to our prejudices. When this happens, we are able to believe that the Lord, love of the Lord, who has lived again in 3 days, is always with us, although miracles do not happen in our lives. Now, today's text introduces the woman who served Jesus as follows. These are verses 2 to 3. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Johanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. Mary of Magdalene was a woman who was possessed by 7 evil spirits. Joanna was a wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. The Greek word for manager has the meaning of looking after or delegated, but here the word is used to indicate a position in the government, and it denotes a position of an administrative minister of King Herod. And so Joanna, the wife of such minister, is completely essentially different in terms of status when compared to Mary Magdalene, who was introduced to us a minute ago. The reason that the Bible gives such a detailed introduction of the background of these two women who are different in status, rather than simply referring to them as two women, is because these women were the most exemplary in terms of serving Jesus among all women who followed Jesus. But more so than that, the Bible does so in order to emphasize that in experiencing the love of Jesus and to serve the Lord, one's status, wealth, or class does not matter at all. Mary Magdalene had been possessed by 7 evil spirits, no less than 7. On the other hand, Joanna was a wife of a high-ranking official. What the Bible tells us is important in serving. What the Bible tells us is important in serving Jesus is not status. Whether you are a beggar or, to the contrary, somebody who has a lot of wealth, what is important is the heart that loves the Lord rather than one's wealth. The greater our love for the Lord is, the more abundant the fruits of our lives. A person who has greater love for the Lord is someone who has received much grace from the Lord. Such a person is a person who has been forgiven a debt of 500 denarius and not 50 denarius. In other words, only those who realize what great sinners they are able to love and serve the Lord by the measure of sin they have recognized as being within themselves. It is only when I realize what a lowly being I am, what a person of no account I am, like a common rock that is found everywhere, when I deeply experience the bottom reality of my existence, that I am able to love the Lord and live by serving Him, by the measure of such recognition and experience. Some women, as referred to in the text, there were people who were discriminated against, marginalized, and ignored. The Lord sought them out. The Lord put out His hands to them, cared for their wounds, and resolved their problems. These women who received such a great grace willingly lived a life in which they served the Lord with what they had. Living in our times, we're discriminated against and discriminate others. We are wounded by discrimination and hurt others by discriminating them. Whether I intended it or not, the discrimination we face in life sometimes pushes us into a pit of hopelessness. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus will come to us and give us his words in the depth of our souls. He will make us face the problems of our lives and open the way of life for us. The Lord, whom some women met, will meet us too, in the same way, in the places of our lives. Let us pray. Lord of love, each person who is created according to the image of God is precious for being who he or she is. And so each should be protected and loved. But we see the hurt of this age, where the weak are discriminated against and marginalized. For the reason that they own nothing, don't have talents or abilities or strength or power, we have done our best to hold on to the rope of our selfishness from the position of strength, rather than protecting our co-workers who are to work with us for your kingdom. Lord, thank you that you came to this world and you did not judge people according to the bigness or smallness as the world sees them, that you did not discriminate against people or regions, that you went everywhere where the gospel was needed, and you were with the vulnerable ones, the marginalized ones, and became their friends. Although we are like the common stones that can be found everywhere, you came to us, the lowly, the people of no account, and you held out your hands to us, cared for our wounds, and resolved our problems in life. May we remember such great grace and live with hearts of gratitude for such grace. In the same way that debtor who has received forgiveness for a greater debt is able to love Jesus more, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.